We at least got there, and whether we started or not.
Okay, yeah. So, we're holding here Memzayim Memches, and now he finishes Akdama. He wants to speak a little bit about what does the world look like in the Tkuf of Helam. So, in each phase, each one of these two phases of the world has a whole different set of rules of the game. It's the period of Helam, who klal zman avodas ha'adam. That includes any. It includes the entire tkufa of avodas ha'adam. V'hine michok shemusiko amano yevad yoch lasikol ma'isav shleimim. So as far as the Kadosh Baruch Hu goes, he could have made everything shalom, liya b'maisa b'lotayv gemura shleimo lishu chasam v'reis klal, and everything would have been perfect. Omnom b'tzoisli snaigim nivra b'anhagis hazoish kozachainu, because he wanted to be misnaig with this that he said before. Hine himtzi seida chodesh mamish, he created a whole new sort of window within a window, a whole structure of rules of the game that really are not innate, they're not natural, they're not the way it should have been. Shalok da Hashem Zalbach, elamai de tzricha de briyasa. So we have a tkufa that the structure of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's interaction with the Bria is geared towards the Bria rather than towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Losem schus es chatev achuysom v'derech hatov v'ras chavonish shalfi aderech hazein hatov v'ras shkulim heim u'boi shnei balam hazeh. A, we have Tov and Ra in the world. B, Tov and Ra are equal. V'kach mezumenu ha-Tov le-Tovik mo-Ra le-Roim. And the Tov is good for Tovim and the Ra for Roim. Sometimes things go well, sometimes things are ruined. So you have a tkufa with Tov and Ra, where Tov and Ra are on equal footing. They both have a right to exist. They both exist. They both compete for the same space. And then a tkufa when everything changes. So right now the tkufa is there's absolutely no preference to tov over ra, and people can do bad. So this explains all the kulam and everything. The Satan is constantly in pressure, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is done kechut asayra. Now, meaning that when we say HaKadosh Baruch Hu is done kechut asayra, means there's no good, there's no hashpa teva coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving us only what we earn, and that's it. I want to stop a second and be misboning. So when people come along and they look around the world and they say, this is the best possible world of all worlds, that's not true. This world has tons of kilkulim. It's not a great world. It's a great world in this bigger picture when you look at what it's going to lead to. I mean, a very simple muscle. If you ask somebody is in a hotel, a 5-star ultra deluxe Pesach hotel, and you ask him, is it good? And he says it's fantastic. What he means is that every minute of it is very, very enjoyable, and you know, everything is great every minute. A guy is in a hospital, you know, in some sort of difficult ward, in a some sort of cardiology ward or some sort of oncology ward, and you ask, and the person says, this is the best place for me. You don't mean to say that you enjoy it minute by minute. You mean to say that it's a phase that you have to go through, which you figure will lead to some better good. So I say this is the best of all worlds, and people killing each other and robbing each other and destroying each other and everything happening, and you say it's all for good internally, doesn't make any sense. It's not right. What's right is this in the big picture for where it's going to lead us to, this is a very, very important piece.
Is he including in here nice thing that happen in the world, like earthquakes?
So we're assuming that that's part of the kilkel of the world.
Okay.
That's what I'm assuming.
The height of it, every earthquake, I mean, like, what if Adam hadn't even been from the age of dust? There wouldn't be tectonic plates, or people wouldn't live in the regions where, like, how would it...
We could project Lost at Love Hole.
Right.
My assumption is, I'm sure that there's some way that the plates could not separate from each other, that something could happen, you know, that the world would be a tranquil place. My assumption is that the world can also be a tranquil place if HaKadosh Baruch Hu so desired it.
So, how exactly does Hashgacha, like, all the tens of millions of people living along the sand and grass fault line, like, what... How does the reality of a world with chet play into the inevitable reality that people living along these fault lines?
So on that we'll say kivu shenita reshus lemashkes lahashkes. Let's give an example. Let's say I have a classroom, or I have a group in an army, whatever it is, and I want to train them to take responsibility, whatever it is, and I say, okay, if one guy messes up and a guy forgets to bring X, there's just not going to be lunch for everybody. And I let everybody starve, even the people who did their share. But the tachlis is, I want to try to get everybody into it, and the part of the consequences of doing wrong is a lot more people suffer.
Collective punishment.
What?
Collective punishment.
It's not collective punishment as much as the consequence. The world is given over to mankind, which means we need many people to survive. Nobody can survive alone, on the other hand, if you need each other, it means unless everybody gets their act together, there's going to be issues.
How do earthquakes or other natural disasters play into a world of tikkun? That is to say, I can understand in a situation where, let's say, the Paris attacks, somebody does an act of rishus, so maybe not every person.
God made disasters. I'm not sure. I mean, it could be one of a few things. It could be that's just part of Hagas Olam. That's just like people die of heart attack, people die of a tsunami. People, in other words, this world itself has in itself many, many misfortunes.
There's a direct response. They were chotem.
Right.
HaKadosh Baruch Hu judged them. He decided they were responsible for collective punishment. He punished them.
Right.
Natural
disasters, whether to say this is part of the giving of the mitzias of difficult, just people get sick, people don't find enough food to eat, changes in weathers that make life difficult. I don't know how, there are many ways to look at it. Not sure which is the appropriate one.
But in what way overall does it contribute to a world of tikkun? That is to say...
No, the difficulties that the world has to struggle with, whether it's taking care of the people injured by this, or the difficulties people go through until they realize that this world can't be the be-all. Like the Ramchal says, that no one can think that this world is what it is the tachlis of Bria, because nobody in this world ever has it really good for any prolonged length of time. Everybody's always suffering.
Because it contributes to an overall realization that the world is unstable.
Right.
And that life is... can be short, and that there needs to be connected to a few people.
Right. In other words, yes, things are not for granted, and everything is... Nothing comes to you automatically.
You talk about loss of love, though. Yeah. Saying the vision of a world in which earthquakes are suspended, and...
My assumption would be like, I mean, Ramban says that Blessed Lavo, all the animals be vegetarian.
I was going to say the animals must stop eating each other.
So Ramban says that's what it was before the Chet. the animals were vegetarians. It's like that he ate rice, and I assume also like there was no GMO and you know and free range and.
Is there going to be winter?
Are we going to go back to that? What do you think?
Seasons, like the kosher coldness, you know.
I don't know. You know, it seems as if you know there's a medrash. The Medrash Rabba says that the reason why people sinned by Dora Mabel was because the weather was like the weather was perennially like the weather from Pesach to Shavuos, spring. And that's a, that, if that type of weather all around, you can take a look. The place that have, yes, the place that that type of weather all year round, you know, yes, it's very it's helpful for various. So
keep his, it stopped the Nazis in Russia. You know, it's like finally got cold on them and they.
When the Tkufa there was considering jobs in America, so I had a few offers, but Silver Spring was, I think, the only one, or maybe one of two, that was not on a beach somewhere, or, you know, on the ocean.
That was a Milo?
So I said, I said to myself, I guess, you know, I'd be a little more conservative.
We'd be a little bit more lame, and we've delivered, Baruch Hashem.
So I thought this day, whenever I meet a student that comes from, like, a kid moved from San Diego to come to Maryland, right. I say, what are you doing here? Like, what's wrong with you? Mm-hmm. They say, I like seasons. Yeah. Say, I also like seasons, summer, spring. I like seasons. You know?
But it says that, that's why, but that's what Avtocha was. There would be Chayref and Kayetz, because the wrestling with difficult periods is helps keep a person in check. And everything is, when you have everything all the way, you know, you can, you're always on the beach.
Where did you say this, Ramban?
No, Medrash.
Wow.
Okay.
It's against snowbirds. Yeah. Shouldn't move down to Florida in the winter.
So he says, this derech requires hest upon him. Because if he would want to be mezgala with a mitzvah shaltoi, so this is a world of hest upon him where things have natural cause and effect. And when things have natural cause and effect, plates tend to shake apart. In other words, there's nothing keeping it in any way, from falling apart. He says, even during this period, when it's hest upon him, Ava became vaday who shumashpia lahem. We wouldn't exist if HaKadosh Baruch Hu were not to keep willing our existence. Compared to what it's going to be, it's like a shadow. Or like the pressure left on paper once you've gotten rid of the ice. Benikar klal min hashpaza is choishev l'or. This is called choishev. Legabe ha-hashpa ha-shlema she-zechol lovoi im kechoik she-musayim ha-shpia. Omnam legabe didon al-kol panim ze-kol chayim. So you're right. So we have a drop of what would be if it would be shlemus. But that drop is gives us our existence. Ki ba-hashpa zoyis ha-nachon chayim ha-kayomim lo-yizu l'osa. V'nimtza she-keshe-naski min ha-hashpa zoyis ha-mudeshas best at to be sparach. Nikreo beklal echod kmoit seil akorech alin levad leyoisa. So generally speaking, when we talk about this tkufa hest upon him, it is a shadow. Ubisparta leprotov nimtzu boy ki kol achukim ha-mishpotim ha-shavchin ha-rachim ba-nehog al-yoyna ki kulom yachad ob-amur ad-moylech shabim v'gav korach al-yin v'yipol b'shlemus m'sh z'chart. So he says over here, however, you have all of the details of what's going to be. Let's explain that a minute. A person plants a seed in the ground. So the seed, or the part of the seed that's really going to grow into the plant, is in minuscule form, physically in size and in development. It resembles just about nothing of what will be. But if you were to analyze it, you were to analyze the genes, the DNA, the everything that's waiting to come to structure, you'll find everything that will be is there in an extraordinarily compact way. So if we ask ourselves, what is the comparison of the now to the future? One answer is no comparison, and one answer is exactly the same. If you're talking about the terms of its what exists of it, you know, what's there, the answer is nothing. There's going to be a big, big tree, and all we have is a tiny seed with a white kernel, and so on. But if you're asking yourself, do I have all the details of it? Is the tree going to be a new piece? The answer is no. I have all the details already there. Which means, it means, first of all, everything that we have today, it's not going to change. And Akash Baruch, a bell is not going to ring, like Shofar Shel Mashiach will ring, and then there's a whole new world. That's not exactly how it works. Shofar Shel Mashiach will ring, and then this world will come into existence. Everything that is already latent in this world of the world to come is going to come out. So what we do has a lot of meaning for what's going to be. It's a muscle. Sometimes a mother takes kids someplace and she needs to keep them busy when she takes them. So she gives them papers and crayons to color, and then when she comes back, she tosses in the garbage and they go to where they have to go. The drawing on the papers had nothing to do with the future event. There's sometimes when I ask you to do something and I will come and finish the job, but your beginnings are very, very important, even if they're little. So we envision like Mashiach will come and everything we have now is like will just be swept away and there'll be a big new world coming down. It's not like that.
It will feel like, compared to the reality now compared to then, it will be as if it's a new world because so much latent.
Correct, but we will realize that what we did, this is correct. The full version of what we did. That's why it's so important. It's our when we look and ask ourselves what we do in this world, does it have any meaning or not? So the answer is, as is compared to as will be, no. But as will be really is as is. Whatever I have now that might be a tiny strand, it will develop itself in the loss of love to be the full.
In a practical sense, let's take for example.
I said two Torah mitzvahs my stove. Yeah.
The actual impact of the cure world is minuscule, certainly relative to 70% non-Orthodox intermarriage and assimilation rate and so on. In Yimos HaMashiach, the cure of effort, for example, that's been going on is going to be that which brings the Geula. In other words, it's going to be our efforts that are going to be magnified.
Yes.
So Ozzy was minuscule before Rabbi Nati. He's changing it all.
You know, let's take an example. Imagine a person does something that has minuscule effect. He thinks he has. He's brought it. But these people have children. These people have an effect on people around them. In other words, the multiplier from potential to realization is what we're going to become aware of.
And it's all going to be. So we're not talking about only Akash Berkowitz and Hugo. We're talking about our
Meisim.
Our Meisim. In every generation, all all the little, the guy correct. Living in Poland who was Zug and Tillum and like
correct,
every person.
Correct, correct, correct. We'll have that relationship. And sometimes you're fortunate enough you live to see it, sometimes not. I'm going to tell you one side. You know, this, I used to live on Azabura, and across the street was the Vardaki Yeshiva. My yeshiva was a relatively big building that never, the Vardak itself never took off. Never. Yeah, that Toros Moshe, that Wolpe's yeshiva, that yeshiva, this yeshiva, it's a host of many.
Shema Yisrael was there.
Shema Yisrael was there for a while.
My father was there.
And I wondered, you know, I always wondered what, you know, I know, like, you know, Rabbi Zinbrook was a big tzaddik, and he tried very hard, and he worked with things and people, you know, and nothing much came out. He wasn't, I always wondered about it. Many years later, one Motzei Shabbos, I finished late, and I went with a friend, with Nelson Weiss, to Davin in Bucharim Shtiva. That was the only place I still had a minyan. Nelson Weiss's father was a wealthy man, is a wealthy philanthropist, so he gave some money, I think, to Davin in Reuven Elbaz's minyan. He was there. And we went over to say hello, we introduced ourselves, and this and that, we schmoozed a little bit. And I asked Rav Elbaz, who has these thousands and thousands and thousands of Svardim, there's Mekarim, made from, where he got his, push from, and so on. He said he happened to learn in a Vardik, and Rabbi Tzion Brook was very much beyond him, and he feels that this was what made him who he is. So, you know, so yes, he had one Svardi Yungamana in his kolol, and that was it, but the Svardi Yungamana had, you know, yeah, so sometimes you can see it, sometimes you can't, but you make a rush, you make an impression, and it has an effect. That's the inyan when you read in Sforum about taking out nitzotzes, and you know, nothing gets lost, no davar tov gets lost, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu works at bringing to fruition any good seed that was planted in the Bria comes to fruition.
Any seder that a person learns, any field that a person's mekabel, somehow there's going to be a multiplier effect in the Yemos HaMashiach.
Yes, anything that's done right is will have a multiplier effect. Most of it, if you're lucky, maybe you see it in your life. Olam choter b'chayecha. But if not, it's still, it has, you know, yes.
Why do you always have to come on to saying the multiplier effect, you know? Why is there something that is the qualitative impact batsim on what?
Because
if one belt tshuva, that batsim
with
just come on to duri.
Well, since everything we do, mashama adava doimer, if a doctor does surgery on any part of your body, it's limited to that part of the body. It doesn't do your hand, doesn't do your foot. That's what it is. If he does genetics surgery, if he plays, you will assume that anything you've done will have a multiplier effect, because it's the nature of what?
Save one person, like you said, the whole world.
Yeah. If the nature of what we're doing is we're this tkufa is the tkufa of the seed and so on, then we'll assume that it will have many, many effects.
And I just wonder sometimes, you know, as we say, like, you know, don't worry, it's just this one person, but if you look down the road and all the people, the effects, that's many people, like, where's that threshold? So now it became 27 people were impacted, so now it's a great Maisa. Why not Batsim? That Maisa was a great Maisa. That person was a great person.
To get excited about
okay, it's a different thing. So it's a different thing. That's
no.
Your own. I'm saying Batsim.
We live in a world.
So right. It's when you look at the world and you say to yourself, where is your Maisa? You know, the klal is the entire world. So where is your Maisa compared to everything? And you want to say that when there'll be a tikkun, lasad lavo, it will be because of our Maisim. So it has to be that each person's Maisim. I mean, Klal Yisrael is minuscule. My son was once on a plane sitting next to somebody from India, I told you this.
Yeah.
So, you know, you got, and he asked him how many Jews there are. And so my son on a hunch said to him, how many do you think there are? I told him 60, 70 million. So he told him maybe 6, 7 million. So the guy says, it can't be. You guys make too much noise. But, you know, it's like in finance, you have leveraging. You that's the tikkun is going to be in the whole world, and it's going to come from our meisim. So it must be that our meisim will have some sort of leveraging effect.
I think if you don't consider that, you have to be depressed. That is, like, how many people are really keeping Torah and mitzvahs in any meaningful kind of way? It's pathetic. I mean, a world of 7 billion people.
Correct.
Without a multiplier, it's absolutely, statistically zero.
Right.
You could also say, so what? You could say the whole thing, that's the world will be distilled down to...
But the way Ram Kahal says, this is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a world. He took out Adam to be a chalutz, to be the one to spare the drive. He took out Avram out of Adam, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu, these are all Adam. These are Tzelem Elokim. So 7 billion Tzelem Elokims that are not is an incredible amount when you have.
Even in our grandest projections, we're not touching the farmer in Malaysia. I'm saying.
But I believe that
partners in Torah is not the farmer.
There's a Chabad there. I don't know. I'm saying like some illiterate peasant in Indonesia. I'm saying no shaykhis. So like.
So the illiterate peasant in Indonesia is affected by whoever sets the tone there, is affected by whoever sets the tone in the Western world, is affected by whoever sets the tone. You have that. They used to have a thing in Israel. It used to go like this. That, you know, nominally, Ben-Gurion is the strongest person at Israel. But really, Ben-Gurion needs the firm vote for some critical votes. So he's affected by what Mafdal says. Mafdal is worried what Aguda is going to say, and this they look over their shoulders at Aguda. Aguda is worried about the Turkatin. Turkatin is worried about Aaron Blow. Aaron Blow is worried from his wife. So Aaron Blow's wife is really the one that... What? Yeah. Somebody said, and poor Mrs. Blau was afraid of mice, or something like that. You know, but the part is, there is a certain effect, and we don't know. We don't...
Why are we supposed to not get either depressed or too elated by those results? If each one of us is really here to do our own tikkun, our own...
But you know what? It gives deeper meaning. You're right. I can't look around. When I do Kiruv, I can't look around and look at numbers, except for the Wolfson Foundation. I can't look at...
Edit.
I can't look at numbers multiply. I can't look at numbers say X amount. But I need to understand in quality it's a significant there's something. I'll give you a mushroom. Imagine somebody's manufacturing, formal dress or something like that, and he's able to produce 1,000 pieces a day. So I say, great. What are you doing? I do one. He said, one? He said, yeah, but it's really going to be very, very good. So I said, but, you need, for the event, you're going to need thousands and thousands of people. He said, but I'm making the uniform for the king, for the president. So that one is really one that stands apart. Understanding that what a person does has profound significance. Changing one nekuda, it moves things around, is very, very significant. It's, it means that our vote in the big picture is not the Rick. You know, it's...
Why must we be aware of the effect? Why are we going to be aware of the effect that our actions have done? Why is that important?
Because for us also, we're going to be going to the new tkufa also. We exist in this tkufa and we will exist. That's Olam Haba. Olam Haba means the world to come, which is either after Tchias HaMeisim or post Tchias HaMeisim on the Rambam. It's the way the world is. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is perfect. The only way we can understand this world as being in line with perfection is if it brings to perfection, and that means that it's us developing. That's what it is.
It just reminds me sometimes of the Kotzker's line. They said, you always saying, you're doing this for the children, it's for the children. And the Kotzker guy said, Valdi Goliath, I'd love to meet the final child. you know, everything's for the children. So when is it, you know, you do a cure with, you see, talk to adults sometimes, like, they'll do things, they'll bring their children to something, not themselves. When if you're, like, what about you, Be'etzem? So sometimes it's just, I get that feeling, it's like, Makar, this person, you have his children, you have his grandchildren. Be'etzem,
yeah? For you, Be'etzem, it also makes a difference. Let's give an example. If Balei Mus used to say to do, like, simple steps, which I say to myself, I really don't daven terribly well. I'm going to be having one bracha a day. So what? But if I understand that one bracha a day triggers something and that triggers something else, and it has a long effect, then
but I can also appreciate that one bracha. In other words, where's the threshold? When I hit, so I'm saying, when I hit seven brachas, now I reach the real Shemoneh Esrei.
But it means that if at the end of the day, I'll tell you, it really is not significant. Let's say somebody, you're a teacher, somebody got a 20 on his test. And, you know, like, that's with charity. And there's one answer that he has wrong that he's fighting with you about, like Castle. You tell him, let's say you're right. What's this, 2024? Like, does it make it, like, why are you
feel
so...
Feel deliver.
What?
I feel it's deliver.
Yeah. And that's why a person, if the actions really are relatively, you know, not relatively insignificant, why would I bother with it? And the answer is, there's no such thing as insignificant. Because everything has many, many effects.
Yeah, but at that point, I'm just saying, it's monoshach. If it's be'etzim, if it's intrinsically valuable, since it's intrinsically valuable, if it's only valuable as a function of its multiplied, you know, ramifications, so 30 people were affected, 100 were affected, it's always insignificant, it's always going to be relatively insignificant.
The multiplier effect tells me that I touched something in the shoresh rather than the yamnaf. So if I make somebody's not well, we're reluctant to treat symptoms, but we're happy to feel that we actually got something at the root, even if it's small, because anything at the root is real, and the male it'll have many effects because that's the nature of it.
Okay.
But so we'll remember, we're holding here.
Ozzy remembers.
Ozzy remembers.
Okay, we're right. Got it.